One Eye restrained his natural exuberance and used his talents judiciously to control bleeding and deaden pain. As I washed my hands, I said, "I can't believe it went that well. I haven't done one of those since I was a kid, practically." "She going to pull through?" One Eye asked. "Should, unless there are complications. I want you to check back every day to make sure she's doing all right." "Hey, Croaker, I got me an idea. Why don't you buy me a broom?"
"What?"
"When I wasn't busy doing anything else, I could be sweeping up."
"I'll get myself one, too."
I spoke to the child's parents briefly, through Frog Face, cluing them in on what had to be done. Their gratitude was stifling. I doubted it would last. People are that way. But as we were about to leave, I told the father, "I'll collect on this. Anything. It won't be trivial when the time comes." He understood. He looked grim as he nodded. We were about to step into the street when One Eye said, "Hold up." He pointed. I looked down at three dead bats arranged in a neat, equilateral triangle. Maybe the boys aren't imagining things. The bat cadavers were not neat. A crow cawed somewhere nearby. I muttered, "I'll take my help where I can get it." Louder, "Could you make a bat spy on people?" One Eye thought about it. "I couldn't, but it might be possible, though they aren't long on brains." That's all I needed to know, except for who was running the bats. The Shadow Masters, I presumed. The 20-hour days started. When I was not preoccupied with anything else, I tried to learn the language. After you have learned enough, they come easy, or easier, anyway. We went at it trying to keep things simple. All the evidence indicated that the Shadow Masters would use the Goja Ford for their main crossing. I abdicated the defense of the others to the cult leaders, and concentrated on what I thought I'd need to stop that main force in its tracks. If it got across the river and started rolling north, I feared we would have a repeat of Swan's campaign. Any victory at all would be at a price too dear. I started by forming the cadres of two legions based on the model used by the Jewel Cities in early times, when their armies were citizens with little field experience. The command structure was the simplest possible. The organization was pure infantry. Mogaba was overall commander of the foot and boss of the First Legion. His lieutenant Ochiba got the Second Legion. Each got to keep 10 nar for NCOs, and each of those 10 picked 100 candidates from among the Taglian volunteers. That gave each legion a 1,000-man base, which would be expanded about as fast as the nar could teach them to march in a straight line. Mogaba got Weezer, Lion, and Heart for staff work. I did not know what else to do with those three. They were willing, but had little practical value. Sindawe and the remaining Nar were to form a third training and reserve legion that I expected to employ only in desperation. Otto, Hagop, the guards, and the Roy I charged with putting together a cavalry force. Sparkle, Candles, Cletus, and the rest from Opal and Beryl got stuck with the fun stuff, quartermastering and engineering. Hagop's nephew ended up with him. He was another one who was useless. The ideas were mostly Mogaba's recommendations, which he had worked out while I was scouting southward. I did not agree with all of them, but it seemed a sin to waste the work he had done, and we had to move in some direction. Now. He had it all figured. Sindawi's legion would both produce new people for the leading two units and would develop